This is Tax at the Speed of Tech, a podcast from BDO's Tax Practice. Each episode, we'll connect with inspiring thought leaders to get their take on pressing issues in tax and technology innovation, impactful trends, as well as their predictions for the future.
Fans of the 90s cartoon Animaniacs might recall one of their signature bits, Pinky and the Brain. Brain was the diabolical entrepreneur, always plotting and planning ingenious methods of world domination. Pinky was Brain's loyal companion, ready to execute tasks with efficiency in support of his best friend, regardless of the intended outcome. Each episode, Pinky would dutifully inquire, "What are we going to do tonight, Brain?" And Brain would predictably respond with, "The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world." If you replace world domination with total tax transparency and harebrained schemes with thoughtfully implemented technology solutions, you might end up with a halfway decent analogy for BDO's 2023 Tax Strategist Survey. Pinky and the Brain represents a dichotomy as old as time, the head in the clouds and the boots in the ground. I have met plenty of both in my career in tax, visionary leaders and wildly impressive practitioners, both indispensable in their own ways. For BDO's eighth consecutive year conducting the survey, we broke down respondents into two categories, the tax strategists and the tax technicians. Both make important contributions to their organizations, but those who fall into the strategist category are better positioned to impact the bottom line. The survey, which was featured in Fortune, Bloomberg Tax, Politico Pro, Accounting Today, and other outlets, polled 150 senior tax executives at companies with revenues ranging from $250 million to over $3 billion. We are fortunate to have with us today Matt Becker, National Managing Principal of Tax for BDO USA, to discuss these findings and the implications on tax, the tax profession, and tax technology. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. It's wonderful to be with you today.
Absolutely. It's a joy to have you. Now, many folks listening right now probably read your newsletter, but why won't you start by introducing yourself for everybody?
Sure, Chris. My role at BDO is really an honor and a privilege to have, in that I get to work with over 4,000 tax professionals every day, and also get to work with the thousands of clients that those tax professionals provide tax services to, in a very effective manner. The outcome of my work is twofold. I get to help people and then work with those people to help organizations with improving their tax posture. Two things that bring me a lot of joy and are very exciting.
Excellent. And how did you come to that role? What was your background?
I was previously with another large international accounting and consulting firm. And that was after graduating from Michigan State University, go Spartans. So I've really only ever had two jobs in my entire life. I've been with BDO over 20 years. So it's been a great run. We've seen lots of positive change at the firm during that time, and looking forward to a very bright future as well.
Awesome. Now, this conversation is quite timely, as the 2023 BDO Tax Strategist Survey results were recently published, as I had mentioned. And I personally found the insights to be very, very interesting. The fundamental theme, as we suggested, was the evolution of the two separate roles, right? The tax practitioner and the tax strategist. And you'll have to excuse my Animaniacs analogy, that my kids just rediscovered that cartoon. It's been on that in the house constantly, so it's just been on top of mind for me.
Great analogy.
Perfect. So maybe you could start by defining those roles for the listeners who maybe have not yet read the survey.
Sure. When we talk about tax strategists, we're really talking about those professionals who practice tax, in that they're helping the organization with tax issues, but they really transcend that role, in that they have a deep understanding of the organization's business issues, and value chain. The tactician is someone who adds a lot of value to the organization that they're with, but does so more from the perspective of manipulating data, performing tasks, providing information, that isn't always centered on business strategy and business issues. When you are, or someone is, a tax strategist, they have a deep understanding of the business of the organization, and they're able to give deeper meaning to the work that they do from a tax perspective. And in doing so, participate in consequential business decisions that drive an additional layer of value for the organization that they're with.
Sure. And some of those underpinning themes are not new, right? I mean, tax has been beating the drum of, quote unquote, getting a seat at the table for some time now. You know, usually it's in the context of things like ERP design, technology investment, leveraging data for strategic business decisions such as M&A. But what's different now, right? With the rise of the tax strategy, have we arrived with tax having a seat at the table?
I think we're certainly headed in that direction, Chris. I think if I look back across my career and the interaction that I've had with thousands of tax executives around the world, you really come back to two primary concerns that most tax professionals have. The first, and this is not new and hasn't changed, is that nobody wants to make a mistake that has a negative impact on their organization. So nobody wants to have the tax function be responsible for missing an opportunity, miscomputing a tax liability, creating some kind of large, unexpected negative outcome for the organization as a result of a tax issue. That's kind of first and foremost and always has been. Mm-hmm. The second kind of big area of concern that tax professionals have always had is, how do I get my function more involved in driving business decisions? How do we use tax impact to produce better results for the stakeholders of an organization? And that is really, you know, many decades in the making and something tax professionals have been striving for a long time. I think that the technology of today, the complexity of global taxation today, the complexity of business value chains, and a variety of other factors have really combined to position the tax function to contribute mightily to the business decisions that get made in organizations. And executives, CEOs, COOs, CFOs have started recognizing that and really pulling tax professionals into more meaningful discussions of business issues.
Yeah, and I want to dig in a little bit later into some of those complexities and regulation and compliance, and certainly the technology side of it. But something you said there towards the end, right? The conversation happening at the upper echelons, right, in the C-suite, let's say, or in boards, right? Are they more aware of that value that's always kind of been simmering in tax, and maybe now, because of technology in many cases, the potential to extract that value, to actually kind of wield the power of that data?
Yeah, I think executives and organizations have long appreciated technical competence in a tax professional or in a team of tax professionals. I think that this new era of tax participating in business decisions is really more about using data to analyze alternative business outcomes, and then using those outcomes, potential outcomes, to make better business decisions. For example, if a manufacturing organization is trying to decide between two geographies for its next manufacturing facility, using historic data to project the tax impact of each choice can often result in a better decision than if the choice is made on pure operational principles alone. And those are the kinds of examples that we're seeing where tax executives are really working hard to be in a position with data and technology and people to be able to project a variety of decisions, a variety of alternatives out so that better business decisions can be made. In effect, what we're really doing is we're thinking about the after-tax impact economically of various business decisions versus the pre-tax impact. And by being in a position to map the after-tax impact, we can make the best business decision possible. I think executives have started to recognize that, and tax professionals have started to position themselves to provide that. The outcome of that interaction is often the posturing of someone who may have historically acted more like a tactician, more in the role of a strategist.
Yeah, so let's take what you just said there and kind of split that into the roles, right? So in the context of technology, presumably the practitioner wants to use technology to improve their tasks, right? To do more with less, less manual work, more time on strategic activities, more time for review, let's say. The strategist presumably wants technology to extract those higher value insights. But in the context of technology, if you split it between those roles, are they always in sync when it comes to technology, either the pace of adoption or maybe the types of technologies that they look at, or maybe the application? Because there's certainly a whole host, there's a variety of, you said, of different decisions to be made, a variety of different tax obligations that they're faced with. Are they always in sync? Are they ever at odds?
I think generally the decisions are in sync. I think if you look at a tax tactician's point of view, the point of view always is toward getting work done more efficiently, more effectively, more quickly, perhaps even more accurately, but much more focused on reporting of historic information. The tax strategist perspective doesn't ignore those things. Those areas are obviously extremely important, but the tax strategist is really focused on using the accuracy of the data compiled in the process of reporting historic information effectively to determine what the after-tax impact of future business decisions might be. So a lot of times the technology, the process, the skill sets of a tactician and a strategist are similar. However, the tax strategist is using all of those things in unison, not only to do historic reporting well and to perform tasks quickly and efficiently, but also to project various business alternatives in an after-tax light looking forward as business decisions are considered within an organization.
Yeah, and if I just use another bad analogy, right? If the obligations of a tax department were a solar system, compliance would kind of be the sun, right? The star in the center with an obscene gravitational pull, right? Where everything... compliance has to be done first, right? That sucks up all the resources and the energy and the budget because you have to be compliant. And in the context of technology, right, where technology is, I think, maybe too often dismissed as a nice to have, or maybe less and less so as we progress into the future here, even when it's absolutely necessary because of the imposing juxtaposition of compliance demands, how do you prioritize technology in the context of these obligations, right? You've got that gravitational pull of compliance. We need to be compliant. We need to file whatever returns, whatever jurisdictions for whatever business we're doing. But then you have all of these strategic activities surrounding it. So as you said, where you kind of split that view between the tactician and the strategist, how do they prioritize together when it comes to investing in technology?
Yeah, I think the economic case or the return on investment, if you will, that's associated with investments in tax technology can really be twofold, in that technology can make you quicker, technology can make you more accurate, technology can take the burden off people from a time perspective with respect to manipulating data and potentially, performing other, mundane tasks associated with compliance. The question then immediately becomes, okay, we've created capacity with our tax professionals using technology. What do we use that capacity to accomplish? And that, I think, is where the secondary return on investments in technology arises. And that secondary return or additional return on investment is realized when someone using a tax strategist mindset uses the capacity created through using technology more effectively to focus more on business issues, more on the value chain of an organization, and more on ways that that value chain can adapt to produce a more tax efficient outcome for the organization. So in a sense, the first level of return on investment in tax technology is just accuracy, simplicity, time saved, perhaps less stress on people, which is always important in this era where you know professional talent is so scarce. The second level of return on investment is the positive outcome that can be gained from taking the capacity created with the technology and focusing that capacity, the hours of people's time that you've now freed up from other tasks, to be more proactive, to focus on the value chain of the organization, the business issues, and the alternative decisions that can be made to drive tax liability lower through an understanding of the business, the operations, and the things that can be done differently to reduce a tax liability.
Yeah, and I think you and I are in a unique position, and folks in similar roles, where that ROI, I think, is a little bit more apparent to us, right? Because we touch so many different tax departments that have gone through transformations and kind of seen the outcomes on the other end, or able to compute that ROI to really distill the value out of it. But that's not always the case. And sometimes I have to remind myself of this too, right? That it's not always the case for, you know, looking from within a department, starting to embark on that journey, or just planning how to begin to procure that budget, right? Because that investment starts with a budget allocation. And now there was a split, you know, in some of the views in the report, you know, between the strategist and the tactician. What is that impact that's happening on budgets? I know there's also, this is a curiosity of mine, there's a split between the view from the tactician and the strategist. Do they not share the same purse? Do strategists kind of get their own purse to make more strategically focused investments versus tactical?
Yeah, I think, you know, the perspective of the tactician and the strategist is different. And you can see in the results from the tax strategist survey, tax strategists largely believe, you know, kind of looking forward, that their organization's tax liabilities are likely to increase slightly. Whereas predominantly those people sitting in the role of a tax strategist or having the tax strategist perspective actually see significant increases likely in the tax liabilities of their organization. And what that says to me is that people who understand value chains and understand business progression are perceiving things that people who are not focused in those areas aren't perceiving. Meaning, sitting from the perspective of a tax strategist and not just thinking about history, but really looking forward and trying to understand the business issues that your organization is likely to face, or the changes that are happening in the economy and the way your business will be conducted, seeing that those are likely to drive increased tax liabilities, that really puts someone who's sitting in the role of a tax strategist in a position to be much more valuable. Because by perceiving the likelihood of an increased tax liability, you can actually try to alter the value chain or alter the business decisions to accomplish a different outcome. Whereas someone who is more tactically focused is still spending a lot of their time and energy on historic reporting, on things that probably drive less value, and not as able to react and help the organization be more effective in the future. So the technology investments that get made, the investments in professional training and additional professionals that get made, you know, may or may not line up with the future issues that a tax function is likely to face if you're coming from the perspective of a tactician, whereas a tax strategist is very forward-looking, perceiving the likely challenges that the future holds, and then making decisions about technology and investments in professionals and other aspects of their tax function in a way that's very easy to establish a return on investment for. So probably more likely to receive additional budget, to receive additional funding within an organization to be able to add resources, because they're using those resources in a value-added way that's more perceptible to executives in the organization. And yeah, that difference is subtle, but I think it's that forward-looking, forward-thinking understanding that comes with perspective on business issues that really puts the tax strategists above the tax tacticians when executives are evaluating the value of a tax function.
Yeah, and there's an accelerant on that forward-looking view, right? Because when you layer technology on top, all things are not constant, right? The tools that both the practitioners and the strategists have today are not the tools they will have tomorrow. So planning for how they can impact that change or be an agent for change in how to perceive, you know, the treatment of those liabilities and the contributions of the department and the data and everything, right? It's hard to ignore, especially here in 2023, things like artificial intelligence, right? So things like generative AI, large language models, and some stuff that we know is right around the corner, like the proliferation of copilots and data fabric, really exciting technologies that everything we've been saying around, well, how do I extrapolate value, right? That's without understanding, I think a lot of folks haven't fully understood and people are just getting their hands on it for the first time, exactly how or what it's going to look like. But there's this sentiment that it is going to do that, whatever it looks like. It's going to have this foundational change to the way I can work with data, both in large data sets, from a governance perspective, from an analytic perspective, from a documentation and presentation perspective, communication to the board, let's say, and some of the things we mentioned earlier. From your perspective, how is the speed of technology poised to play a role in the story of the tax strategist and the tax practitioner a few years down the road from now?
I think that the speed of technology is going to continue to accelerate for the foreseeable future. We see signs of that throughout the industry. What that means for a tax professional within an organization is that keeping up with the investment, and when I say investment, that's of course both money, you know, the budgetary funds that have to go into technology, but also the time and energy that gets spent understanding how to use those technologies effectively and keep up with the changes in those technologies. As we look forward and that pace continues to increase, those tax functions that are good at using outside resources in the right way to stay up to speed and keeping themselves focused on the things that are a responsibility that only they can fulfill with respect to business issues and value chains and the real important things within the business. You know, those people that find that balance best, I think, are those that are going to be most successful. You can look at the survey and you see that people who come from that tax strategist perspective, you know, they're outsourcing things like tax technology implementation, global tax compliance, transfer pricing documentation, the things that are historically thought of more as compliance exercises or things that someone who isn't focused specifically in the area, you know, might not have skills for. The tacticians are still trying to take on a lot of those tasks independently. you know, the categories I mentioned: global tax compliance, tax technology implementation, transfer pricing documentation. You know, less than half of the professionals we surveyed who come from that tactician perspective are outsourcing those areas. So what that means is a lot of time and energy is being spent by those people focused on those things. The opportunity cost of that is an understanding of the business issues, the value chain, and the things that probably most people in the C-suite are most interested in.
Speaking of recent things that the C-suite has been interested in, one of the topics that made its way into the survey a few times was that of ESG, right? And ESG has been an interesting conversation in tax over the last 12 months or so, kind of oscillated, you know, towards and away from each other over time in terms of what that relationship is or means or could be or will be. Can you just anchor me for a moment? Where is tax in its relationship with the ESG? You know, it feels like pillar two from the OECD embodies some core themes related to transparency, which are reminiscent of ESG, but it's not a direct, you know, dictation from ESG to move in that direction, right? Then you have other things like carbon taxes, which are a little bit more on the nose. But other than the occasional voluntary tax transparency mission statement that you might see on a corporation's website, you know, that direct linkage between tax and ESG is still a bit shrouded in mystery.
Yeah, it's really a developing area, Chris. I think that for anyone to say today that we can predict the relationship between tax and the tax functions and organizations and ESG, you know, as we look forward 5-10 years, probably hasn't analyzed what's happening today closely, or isn't being straightforward about what they're representing, because there are really some significant open questions in that regard here in the United States and globally. I think most organizations are still not excited about volunteering information that they're not required to provide with respect to their tax posture. And most of those concerns come from concerns over tax authorities taking advantage of the disclosures. I think that those concerns are very practical and very understandable. So the likelihood that we see organizations volunteer information in detail about their tax posture before they're required to do so is small. Now, what I do think, and this is a place where a tax function in an organization can add a lot of value, I think it's important that all organizations are prepared to share as needed information about the contributions that they do make to the economies they operate in from a tax perspective. We see regularly large organizations criticized for not paying measurable amounts of a particular type of tax. And whenever I see those stories in the media, I always ask myself, I wonder how prepared the tax function in that organization is to provide the alternative explanation. If an organization pays, for example, not much income tax in a particular jurisdiction, but they do pay property tax or other indirect tax, those attacks that come when the public becomes aware of an organization paying a small amount of a particular kind of tax can often be directly refuted with transparency around the kinds of tax that the organization does pay. And in truth, today, given the complexity of taxation of value chains globally, very few large organizations are able to avoid all types of tax. So I do think when we talk about tax transparency, when organizations are asked to represent that they're paying their fair share in some way, having the data available to demonstrate to the public the contributions that organizations are making to the public good is a really important thing. You know, whether or not the information is required to be disclosed or whether or not there's intention to disclose the information voluntarily. It's just an important tool for an organization and an organization's leadership to have in the event that they are confronted with criticism over lack of contribution.
For my last question, I want to focus on the people sitting in these roles, right? Because it's fine to talk objectively about tax tacticians and tax strategists from a philosophical perspective. But we know there are people in these roles that are either earlier in their careers, trying to plot their course through a career, or folks who are in a role and maybe, you know, have mastered the role of the tax tactician and want to make that shift over, right? And they kind of look at these and they say, oh, maybe there are some different opportunities that I hadn't really thought about in this career. Now, I thought there was actually an outline of the profile of the tax strategist in the survey that, to me, served as a fitting outline of skills if somebody wanted to embark on that journey to work towards becoming a tax strategist. And some of them, like maybe M&A, supply chain, those things might come through natural exposure of tax to other organizational adjacencies in their career. But other things like ESG, cybersecurity, digital transformation, maybe it varies by tax department based on segregation of duties, but if they're not directly exposed to some of these things that kind of complete the ethos of the tax strategist mindset, how does someone seek out those experiences? How do they gain that experience?
That's a great question, Chris. And I think there are many tax professionals who are challenged to learn what they feel they need to learn to stay on the front of the curve with respect to technology and the expectations of the organizations they're working in. I think that a lot can be learned from interaction with outside service providers. Most large organizations like BDO have people who every day focus in the areas of not just emerging technologies, but all of the emerging business issues. And I think using the access that most tax functions have to those outside providers as a learning mechanism is really important. I think, BDO is always willing to participate in those learning journeys with the tax professionals that we have relationships with. And there are a variety of tools available to kind of convey that knowledge to the people that we're trying to help thrive. The other thing that I would always recommend is for people to continue to be curious. Information today flows freely and is available if you look for it. So, be aware of what's happening in the industry. Read as much as you can. Spend the time that you have available focused on the areas that you know are likely to emerge with respect to your organization. And then finally, I think it's just critically important that all tax functions appropriately invest in the people that they have working for them. When we talk about the people side of tax departments, we get all kinds of feedback, and a lot of it's represented in the survey. Harder to find candidates with specialized knowledge. Harder to find people who have a desire for a strategic vision. Lack of, new graduates just in the accounting space in general. All of these factors are combining to make people and resources more scarce. It's therefore the responsibility of every tax function to make sure that the people that do exist in the organization are being developed accordingly. And a lot of times that means making investments in the learning of those people. Sometimes those investments have direct correlation to the efficiency and effectiveness of the tax function. Sometimes those correlations are a little less direct and a little more long-term, but still important. We see things like artificial intelligence augmented reality, all the things that seem a little edgy from a technology perspective, if you're simply a tax professional, and especially if you're coming from a tactician's point of view, a lot of those things don't seem incredibly relevant to your daily activities, but they're likely to become very relevant in the future. And therefore, it's worth making sure that tax professionals in any organization, whether it's at BDO or within a tax function, with a business organization, have an understanding of what's emerging in those areas.
Yeah, I'm really glad you used the word curiosity too. Whenever I've been a hiring manager, right? Whenever I've looked to hire resources, I always look to curiosity as one of the key traits that I'm looking for. Because to me, it's always been a barometer of potential, right? It's a propensity to learn and grow and develop within a role. So I think that's huge. And I think you're right too, where you landed up there at the end about having that conversation, right? Even if you don't think it's relevant, if somebody engages you in that conversation and you're starting at zero with no information on how to engage them, you know, somewhere in that timeline, as things become more tangible, you've got to be able to react or offer a perspective. And it starts with that curiosity. It starts with that learning journey, 100%.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the significant challenges that tax functions and organizations face, and the survey really reveals some of those things, tax professionals and organizations are concerned with increased IRS funding. They're concerned with their ability to comply with some of the new customs and trade rules that are emerging. You mentioned the OECD Pillar 2 framework adoption. All of these things are concerning and challenging for tax professionals and business organizations. And the pace that we're presented with these challenges is not likely to slow down. So using technology to address some of these things is really going to be an imperative. And if you don't have a skilled workforce that's used to adapting and changing and using new technology, whatever the next technology is going to be more challenging. So anything you can do to get people more comfortable with the pace of change, the better. And you know, sometimes change for change sake, meaning adoption of a technology that doesn't bear the ROI fruit that we would like it to, still provides value from the perspective of just helping people get used to managing change and managing the use of new technologies and the way they do their work and the way they help others in their organization. So I'm always fond of the great things that come from new technologies, whether or not it's the intended outcome or some other positive outcome.
Well, Matt, selfishly, I am very happy to have gotten the opportunity to ask you one-on-one about this survey. I wasn't lying when I said I found it genuinely insightful. I know doing a survey like this probably always runs the risk of maybe not breaking any new ground, like, oh, no way, taxes strained and they've got a lot of obligations and not enough resources. That's crazy. You know, tell me something new. But I think the lens that, you know, of looking at the tax strategists, looking at the tax tacticians, looking at that divergence and qualifying what's happening in the world in technology and regulation and in tax departments through those perspectives is incredibly insightful. And there's a lot to be learned from folks at every stage in their career. So again, selfishly, I'm very excited to have gotten the chance to talk to you about this. And I really thank you for your time today.
Chris, you're welcome. Thank you for your time. And thank you for your interest in the survey. I hope that listeners find it as interesting as you and I do.
I hope so. I know so. I know they will. Thanks, Matt. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Tax at the Speed of Tech, a BDO podcast. If you like the show, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Head to BDO.com to access resources cited in this episode and learn more about BDO's approach to tax innovation. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, or if you want to discuss your organization's tax technology strategy, send us an email at tax@thespeedoftech@bdo.com.